Paul asked me to come and share. My question was, Lord, what do you want to say to these dear people? Because there are all kinds of messages, all kinds of subjects I could have spoken about. Love, joy, peace, sitting at Jesus' feet. But this is what he said. Two questions. What are we wearing? And where are we positioned? What are we wearing? And where are we positioned? Can you hear me? Is it? Because people are, yeah? Sorry, right.
Let's put it down a bit. There
right,
we are.
Okay. So looking around, I think it's safe to say that we all got dressed this morning. I can't see anyone in their pyjamas or their nightie. And some of us, I was talking to Dawn earlier, some of us might get our clothes out ready the night before. Some of us, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, might just grab the nearest thing. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as those loved and accepted by him, we are told to put on, well, told we're encouraged to put on God's complete armour, his complete set of armour, which is for our protection. Because we're in a battle, we're fighting the good fight of faith, but actually we're fighting from a position of victory. And I'm going to read again what's just been read to us, Ephesians 6. The armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand. Firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we're encouraged to get dressed and to stand. And when we wear his armour, when we wear God's armour, our souls, and our souls are our minds, our wills and our emotions, our souls are protected. His righteousness covers our heart. Our minds are protected by the helmet of salvation. And his good news covers our feet. And his truth leads us, and his word of power energizes our every breath. I'm going to read that bit again because I like it. When we wear his armor, our souls are protected. His righteousness covers our hearts. Our minds are protected. That's our thought life. His good news covers our feet, and his truth leads us, and his word of power energizes our every breath. In Mark 10, we read the story of blind Bartimaeus, who kept calling out to Jesus, asking Jesus to come and heal him and have mercy on him. And the crowd around Bartimaeus weren't happy about this, and basically they told Bartimaeus to shut up. But Jesus stopped, and he called to Bartimaeus to go over to him. And Bartimaeus immediately stood up and threw off his beggar's cloak and went to Jesus and he was healed. So what are we wearing? Are we wearing the armour of God or a beggar's cloak? Over the years, I've heard people saying that we should put on the armour of God each morning when we get dressed. Figuratively speaking, of course. And others say that we should never take it off. But my thinking is that it's good that as we get dressed each morning, as we face the day, and I don't always do this, I have to say, I don't always remember to do it myself, but it's good to actually, figuratively speaking, put on the armour and then to stand, whether we feel like it or not. Romans 13:14 says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't think about how to satisfy the desires of the flesh. In effect, we're to put on Jesus. Isaiah 61:10-11. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul, again, it's our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in his robe of righteousness. We're wrapped in his robe of righteousness. And righteousness, again, I looked at my dictionary, means to be virtuous. Not a word that we use much these days, but it's the quality of being morally good. Being moral means to conform to a standard of what is right, honest, and good. It's being people of integrity. It's being in right standing with God. I got this jumper in Asda in Weston years and years ago. I don't wear it because it's a bit too bright, but it was the only one of its kind hanging on the rail. It had my name on it, and it was only a fiver. This is why I bought it. Flawless. You see why I don't wear it, it's a bit bright. God sees each one of us as flawless, which means perfect, spotless, and faultless, flawless. That's how God sees us. Why and how does he see us as flawless? Because he sees us in Jesus. Colossians 1:21-22. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of our evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, because he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. But, you know, we can't even pretend to be like this, to do this on our own, in our own strength, relying on ourselves. It's not going to work. We can't do it. We need to continually surrender to the Lord and let him work in us and through us. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as those loved and accepted by God, where are we positioned? As we heard read out, Colossians 3:3, our lives are hidden with Christ in God. It's one of my favourite scriptures. And another one, Acts 17:28. It's in him we live and move and have our being, our existence, our identity. In him we live and move. We are in him, and Christ, the hope of glory, is in us. Colossians 1:27. Ephesians 2:6, and God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And there's so much of scripture that we the majority of scripture we perhaps can't understand with our finite minds, but we understand it in our spirits. And it's good to remind ourselves of the truth of God's word and ask the Lord to help us to see ourselves from his perspective and with his heart. The Lord living his life through us and us living our lives through him, ruling and reigning with him from above the circumstances and not being crushed or living from underneath the circumstances. And throughout God's word, we're told, we're encouraged not to be anxious and not to be fearful. We're to be anxious for nothing, not one thing. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have troubles, trials and tribulations. And we have, every one of us. But he says, take heart, be encouraged, for I have overcome them and deprived them of their power to harm you. Because God, one of the names of God is Baal Perazim, God of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim, God of the breakthrough. He's the God of the turnaround, who can turn situations right round. We need his peace. We need his peace that passes all understanding. Jesus, one of his names is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26:3, he promises to keep us in his perfect peace when our minds are fixed, when our minds are stayed on him because we trust in him. He's keeping us in his peace. It's not our striving. He keeps us in his peace when we keep our minds fixed on him and the truth of his word. We need to get into the habit of doing that, keeping our mind fixed on him, thinking about the truth of his word, talking to him wherever we are, praying. It's just talking to him wherever we are, whatever we're doing. It's getting into the habit of doing that. We can't be at peace and be worried at the same time. We can't trust the Lord and be anxious at the same time, because those things can't exist together. God wants warriors, not worriers. God wants warriors, not worriers. Because again, his word says that we are more than conquerors, not just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. And in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One, we are overcomers. Do we believe it? Do we live it? Again, we can't do it on our own. We can only do it in him and through him. Guilt, shame, unbelief, not knowing who we are and what we have in God will rob us. So what are we wearing? Where are we positioned? Sometimes the negatives of life can be like a strong wave hitting us and knocking us completely off our feet. Some of us have died to our dreams and the desires of our hearts. Others of us have had our dreams squelched, trodden on by others in different ways. And for some of us, life can hold so many hurts and disappointments and bitterness and resentment. And these have the potential to overshadow our ability to live and believe in God's truth. Scripture says he's already given us everything we need for life and for godliness, and that his mercy and his goodness follows us all the days of our lives. All the days of our lives. And there are times when we need to repent of our unbelief, roll our sleeves up, and remind ourselves that we're wearing his armour and that we're positioned in him and we need to trust. And our prayer here is, Lord, enlighten what's dark in us, strengthen what's weak in us, mend what's broken in us, heal what's sick in us, and revive whatever peace and love has died in us. God sees us, knows us, understands us completely and utterly, inside out, upside down, back to front. He understands exactly how we tick. He gets us. And because he loves us so completely and unconditionally, he takes us and he restores us. Just like the father in the story of the prodigal son. And if you feel like a prodigal son or daughter today, then just come back home. Come back home and be empowered and equipped to live the life that God's got planned for you, the life that he's called you to live. Psalm 23:5 says, he's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Wonderful, think about it, sitting at that table that he's prepared for us. It's a feast. And it's not just when we get to glory, it's not just when we go home. It's now. It's now. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But I'm not questioning the word, but I'm questioning some people's take on this, because if our lives, you might not have thought about this before, but if our lives are hidden with Christ in God, can the enemy find us? Can the enemy find us? Psalm 143:9 says, rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. So again, I ask, if our lives are hidden with Christ in God, can the enemy find us? See, my understanding is that as long as we're in close communion with the Lord, keeping our hearts right with him, keeping our hearts right with one another, not leaving a door open for the enemy to find us, because the Lord's a hiding place. He's our stronghold, he's our fortress, he's our protector. So when we are aware that the battle is the Lord's, when we're aware of the fact that we're wearing his armour and what that does for us, and when we know where we're positioned, we can rest. We can be still. We can know his perfect peace. We can rest. We can rest in his presence. We can rest in his grace. We can rest in his mercy. We can rest in his joy. We can rest in his favour. We can rest in his promises. We can rest in his peace. We can rest in his strength. We can rest in his provision. We can rest in his faithfulness. We can rest in his song over us. We can rest in his goodness. We can rest in his stillness. We can rest in his will for us. We can rest in his healing. We can rest in his restoration. We can rest in his timing. We can rest in his revelation. And we can rest in the power of his resurrection. Amen.